We're completing the 2022 Performance Review Series, focusing on the Buffalo Bills' safeties today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com. or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code LOCKEDON in the game. Well, folks, this is it. This is the last position for us to cover in the performance review series. To answer some of the questions out there, we will get to the coaching staff. I want to wait until we know what the coaching staff is going to be. I think there's a couple of hires that are dangling right now. When it comes to wide receivers coach, assistant offensive line, maybe some other stuff. And so I'm kind of waiting for those dominoes to fall to really talk about the coaching staff, but also project it moving forward. So we will get to that at some point in the coming days. But this is the last position for us to dig into, and it's the safety position, which is really interesting because I've been doing this podcast since 2019, and safety has always been just about the easiest position to talk about, given the consistency of Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde as the starters, and then Jaquan Johnson as a depth piece, and then, you know, whether it was Dean Marlowe or some other player kind of mixed in, there wasn't a whole lot of variables to really examine. Well, that's not the case here with this iteration of the safety conversation, so let's dig into it. We'll start with Jordan Poyer, a 2017 free agent signing. He's 31 years old, turns 32 in April. His contract is expired. He completed his most recent two-year $19.5 million extension. In 2022, he played in 12 games with 12 starts, on the field for 96% of the defensive snaps during those 12 games, collected 63 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 4 interceptions, 8 pass breakups, did not have any sacks, a passer rating of 86 when targeted, and a missed tackle rate of 13.7%. I wanted to point out the zero sacks because we're going to talk a lot about the injuries here in just a moment for Jordan Poyer. And I think him kind of taking on a different role, having to play in some deeper alignments, taking him away from playing lower down in the box, you know, reduce some of the playmaking that we've typically enjoyed from Jordan Poyer, including some of his work as a blitzer. And he's been a guy that affects quarterbacks with his blitzing in the past. And, you know, he only got about half the opportunities to blitz in 2022 than he typically got in previous seasons with the Bills. And so Jordan Poyer, we'll get to it, but not his best season, I think, with the Bills. But I think when you consider the injuries, when you consider him not having Micah Hyde, you can understand why it wasn't necessarily his best season, although we all know he meant a ton to the football team. So the word that I have written down for Jordan Poyer and his 2022 review is admiration. I mean, this guy had two different elbow injuries, one in preseason, one during the season, a foot injury, a rib injury that prevented him from flying, a concussion in his final game with the Bills, potentially in the playoffs against the Bengals. And through all of that, he only missed 4 games. He gutted it out. He drove to Kansas City so he could be part of that game. And obviously the Bills won that football game. Not sure if that happens if Jordan Poyer's not available, and he did it all without Micah Hyde. And so I focus and I think about Jordan Poyer's 2022 season, and the word that I just keep coming back to is I admire what he was able to do. The circumstances led to it being a down year by his standards, but we all know what he meant to this football team and to this defense. And look, the injuries to both Hyde and himself made it smarter for him to play in some deeper alignments, and I think took away from some of his playmaking that we've typically seen from him in the past. As far as his 2023 outlook, this is where it gets challenging because I really don't see him being back. The messaging from his side doesn't feel encouraging. I mean, you've seen his wife talk about how they packed up the house for the first time in Buffalo since 2017. You hear the way that Bean addressed it, you know, just certainly leaving the door open, but not necessarily the type of messaging that makes me feel very good about him being back. I hate thinking that it's the end for him in Buffalo, but I understand it. Poyer's an aging player. He sustained a number of injuries this year, and I'm not doubting his ability to still be a high-impact player in the NFL, but I do understand the reality of the Bills situation and moving on due to some cap restraints and feeling like you've maximized your investment in Jordan Poyer, and that as your roster has become more expensive, hard decisions have to be made. And, you know, I don't know that the Bills have had a really, really hard choice to make yet. I know that Harrison Phillips leaving, you know, that maybe some people thought that was a hard choice, but for the most part, there hasn't been one of those losses that really stings and one that you wish would continue with the team, but circumstances just say, hey, look, it's time to move on. And I feel like that's where we're at with Jordan Poyer. Now, if you're hopeful that Jordan Poyer's back in Buffalo, I really think that's dictated more by what his actual market is. If somebody's going to go out there and offer him $15 million a season, well, I think he's gone. But if his market's not there and the Bills have a competitive offer, maybe he'll want to continue with the Bills, being mindful of the opportunity to play somewhere that really allowed his career to take off, but also another season with Micah Hyde. So I think if you're hopeful for Jordan Poyer to be back, then you need to be hopeful that the market just isn't there for him. And maybe it won't be. 32-year-old safety, injury issues this past season. You know, you can understand why maybe the league would be reluctant to give him that money. But I think that money is going to be the most important thing for Jordan Poyer. I think his messaging has told us that. That's what he cares about the most, and feels like he's outperformed the contracts that he's been given, and he wants to strike gold. And I think this is what he views as the best chance for him to get that done. While it wasn't his best year, it's still a good year. I guess he was a Pro Bowl, All Pro, something like that. I'm sure he had some accolades that I'm not remembering right now, but we'll see. We'll see how the league values him. But I have a feeling it could be the end of Jordan Poyer in Buffalo. Let's move on to Micah Hyde, a 2017 free agent signing. 32 years old, he turns 33 in December. He's entering year two of his two-year $19.3 million contract. If you're looking for flexibility, it would come in the form of an extension. You would add an additional year or two onto the deal and spread some of the money out. So I think if there's a chance to be creative with Micah Hyde and see if you can get some cap space, that's where you'd have to go. You'd have to go the extension route here. As far as 2022 stats, he only played in two games, two starts, had seven tackles. Obviously, he was injured against Tennessee. So when we get to the 2022 review here, season-ending neck injury and the blowout win against the Tennessee Titans. There's really no doubt in my mind that he would have had another great season and allowed Jordan Poyer to be even more impactful and cautious potentially with some of the injuries that he was dealing with. Instead, his absence put a lot of stress on the secondary to kind of piece things together. It's unfortunate. You're going into the year without Trey White for several weeks. Micah Hyde's gone after two, and you're trying to feel it out, right? You've had so much consistency with your secondary over the years, right? Whether it was Taron Johnson, Trey White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and then Levi Wallace. Well, you don't have Levi Wallace anymore. Trey White's working himself back, and Micah Hyde's gone after week two. Meanwhile, Jordan Poyer's trying to play hurt. It's a tough situation for the secondary. It's unfortunate. It's not anybody's fault. These are all circumstances, but it was something to be mindful of as we consider the performance of the pass defense, which statistically was very strong and pretty impressive when you consider those dynamics that we just talked about. So as for Micah Hyde's 2023 outlook, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be back and ready to go. He said he was going to play in the AFC Championship game if the Bills got there. Now, unfortunately, it didn't happen, but if he was ready to go a few weeks ago, surely he's going to be ready to go come camp in week one. So he should be fully healthy, ready to play, ready to deliver Pro Bowl caliber contributions at the safety position. And let's face it, the Bills need that. If we're going to live in a world where Poyer is gone, then having Micah Hyde back to be the glue piece of this defense, to be a leader for this defense, is going to matter a ton. So I'm excited to see him back on the field. I also hate that it's potentially not going to be with Jordan Poyer playing alongside of him. That was as good of a tandem that I can remember with the Bills at a position. I mean, Poyer and Hyde, man, that was a special group since 2017. I'm going to miss them if this truly is the end of the road. Let's talk about our sponsor for today's podcast, Ultimate Football GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your own football franchise, well, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. You'll manage every strategic aspect of your team. You'll play through seasons and lead your team to glory by trying to build a dynasty. With Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, trading players, navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft. And with all the ups and downs of a season, all this, and a challenging and realistic game world, Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline. Play on the go as you want and when you want to. I love that offline part. So if I'm on a plane and I don't have internet service, I can play Ultimate Football GM. So that's another fun perk of the game. In fact, if you want to get in on the action, we've created a Locked On League for you to compete against all the Locked On fans across the world. So can you be the ultimate Locked On Football GM? Well, get the game and choose the Locked On League in the app to join and see if you can create a football dynasty. In fact, Locked On Bills listeners, you get 100% free boost to your franchise when using promo code Locked On in the game store. That's Locked On. So make sure to check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. All right, let's talk about some of the depth here. And so in this segment, we're going to get to DeMar Hamlin and Dean Marlowe. And then we got several more players after that, Cam Lewis, Jaquan Johnson, and Jared Maiden, to kind of piece together the depth and what could happen here at safety for the Bills in 2023. So let's talk DeMar. 2021 sixth-round pick, number 212 overall. 24 years old, he turns 25 in March. He's entering year three of his four-year $3.6 million deal. In 2022, he played in 15 games with 13 starts, was on the field for 86% of the defensive snaps in those 15 games, 91 tackles, six tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, two pass breakups, a missed tackle rate of 20%, which is extremely high, and then his passer rating against his coverage was 133.3, so another high number there. As far as his review, I mean, he was really flashy. I enjoyed the aggressiveness that he played with. He was willing to play fast. He was willing to be physical. Now, that led to some inconsistency playing downhill and in coverage, but my guy was playing full speed. There's no question about that. And I think about him this season, he was never expected to have a major role in the defense. In fact, when Micah Hyde got injured, we all thought it was going to be Jaquan Johnson stepping into that role as a guy that's been in the system going into his fourth season. But that wasn't the case. It was DeMar Hamlin. And so what was exciting about him in 2022 was that there were enough flashes to think that he could be in the mix as a developmental starter for the defense, right? And you like that you got some experience to consider as you potentially had to move on from Jordan Poyer. Now, obviously, what happened in Cincinnati changes things, right? I mean, it does. And so for my 2023 outlook, I'm not sure what it is. And I think it's inappropriate to speculate on his playing future. But I think when you consider the player that he was in the field, there was some aggressiveness, there was some physicality, there was some ups and downs, but enough flashes to think, well, you know, maybe this guy can be the starter. And so we'll see what that looks like in the future, but I'm not going to sit here and speculate on whether or not he's going to play football next year or ever, right? That's a deeply personal thing that he has to consider and seek doctors and the advice necessary to make that decision. I'm not going to sit here on a podcast and speculate on that. Let's get to Dean Marlowe, a 2022 player that was acquired in season with a trade with the Falcons. The Bills gave up a 2023 seventh round pick to get Dean Marlowe. He's 30 years old. He turns 31 in July. And hold on, I should probably mention, everybody knows Dean Marlowe has been part of the Bills up until the last couple of seasons. So there's a lot of familiarity. So when I say how he was acquired, I know that he was with the team for multiple seasons, but I'm talking about the most recent way that he was acquired by the team, which was a trade with the Falcons for a seventh round pick. His contract is expired. He played last year on a one-year $1.2 million deal. For the Bills, because he started the season with Atlanta, he was active for four games and then started week 18 against the Patriots and then the two playoff games once DeMar Hamlin was injured. As far as his 2022 review, I mean, it was pretty interesting, right? He wasn't active for a while after the trade, and so we were all kind of wondering, was he brought in to start right away or kind of a hedge for Jordan Poyer and the injuries that he was dealing with? Well, he didn't even dress for the first several weeks that he was on the team on game days. And then he didn't even see the field until after DeMar Hamlin was injured. And I thought he played okay. I mean, given the circumstances, being a late addition to the team midseason, having to step in and play, I mean, I thought he was fine. I thought he played with good control. That's something that I appreciated about his game. Putting himself in positions that were favorable to make tackles and slow the feet of ball carriers to allow his pursuit to get there. His interception was obviously a big moment in the season against the Miami Dolphins in the playoff win. I don't think he moved the needle much, good or bad, and I think that's probably a compliment given the circumstances. As far as his 2023 outlook, I mean, I would consider bringing him back as insurance. Obviously, there's familiarity with the Bills and the defense. Him and his family love being part of Buffalo. That's something we obviously learned through their return. And again, if you're not going to have Poyer back, having him to go with Micah Hyde, to go with potentially transitioning Christian Benford to safety, I like that. That would give me some comfort about the situation. Now, Marlowe ain't Poyer. I know that. And I would be hopeful that Christian Benford could beat him out to be the starter if this was the path the Bills went down. But I think he's a useful depth player that's experienced on special teams and is a good insurance policy. That's what I put him down. And he's a guy that played for 1 year, $1.2 million last year. It's going to be a similar type deal for him this year and one that I think the Bills should absolutely consider. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers to threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, we've got three more players to get to, and I know that everyone wants to talk about the starters more than the backups, but these backups all have some interesting dynamics about them that we need to consider as we consider what the Bills are going to do at safety and the depth and how they impact special teams. And that's a big part of your reserve safety. So let's get into it. We'll start with Cam Lewis, who transitioned from corner to safety this past year, was a 2019 undrafted free agent, has been on the Bills practice squad, on the roster. Was rostered for the entire season this year. And so there's been some good trajectory there obviously coming with the position switch and him being an impact player on special teams as well this year. Cam is 25 years old. He turns 26 in April. His contract is expired, but he's a restricted free agent. And so the Bills have some options here. They can give him the tender, the $2.6 million tender that gives them the first right of refusal. I don't think the Bills are going to go down that road. I don't think they can commit $2.6 million to Cam Lewis, which is very similar to the conversation that we had about Dane Jackson and then stuff we talked about last year with Ryan Bates. But I don't think the Bills are going to do that. I think the realistic option that they could pursue and should pursue with Cam Lewis is allowing him to become an unrestricted free agent and then sign him to a lesser deal. I don't think you want to live in a world where $2.6 million of your cap goes to Cam Lewis. You want about half of that 2.6 to go to Cam Lewis. And maybe you can even sign him for a couple years, right? 2 years, $3 million, something like that. As for his 2022 stats, 13 games, one start, played 125 snaps on defense, and then he was on the field for 51% of the special team snaps. He actually finished second on the team in special teams tackles this year behind Saran Neal. And I think he was one of the Bills' best players on kick coverage, which is odd because he was never used on punt coverage. And so part of this idea, if the Bills bring him back for 2 years, $3 million or something like that, he's going to have to cover punts as well and be a true four-phase special teams player. But when you consider the potential of him providing depth at safety, big-time value on special teams, and can even if get you out of a game at corner, you have to appreciate the versatility that he offers as a bottom-of-the-roster type player. As far as his 2022 review, I mean, his one start was against Minnesota, and I thought that was a disaster in coverage and in run support. Tough situation, right? Having to start a game against an offense like Minnesota that was pretty good all season long and some challenging one-on-one situations with Justin Jefferson. But whether it was playing downhill and tackling or in coverage, I thought he just looked very poor, looked shaky. But obviously, I think in totality for the year, that value was on special teams, and I thought he did a good job on special teams. So my outlook for 2023 is bring him back on a low-cost deal. He provides depth at safety, experience at corner, and gives you that special teams value. And this will start to uncover a little bit more as we talk about Jaquan Johnson here, but the Bills are facing some tough choices with the special teams player. Tyler Medicavich, Tywan Jones, Saran Neal, Jaquan Johnson, Cam Lewis, your core guys, you got some decisions to make on their contracts. And so on one hand, you don't really want to just say goodbye to all of your core special teams players that wind up producing very good results for you. But also, how much money can you commit considering the current dynamics of your cap situation? And that's where it gets very challenging and something that Brandon Bean will have to sort out. Let's move on to Jaquan Johnson, a 2019 sixth-round pick, number 181 overall. He's 27, turns 28 in November. His contract is expired. He completed his four-year, $2.7 million rookie deal. In 2022, he played in 16 games, started three of them, and so was on the field for 22% of the defensive snaps this season and 60% of the special team snaps. As far as his 2022 review, I thought he was super shaky on defense. The Jets game was a disaster. He also started in the Miami loss and was part of that third and 22 completion to Jaylen Waddle over the middle of the field. Pittsburgh was the other start, and I think he was fine in that game. But I have very little confidence in him to actually play defense. Obviously, he's a really good special teams player, but if he has to play on defense, I think you're in a really tough spot. And so he's a safety four to me. Now, you get value for special teams and can get you out of a game, but you don't want to live in a world where this guy's starting three games for you during a season. So as for my 2023 outlook, it goes back to what I just talked about with Saran Neal, Cam Lewis, Jaquan Johnson. You could throw Tyler Medicavich into this. You can throw Tywan Jones. All guys that the Bills have to figure out their contract, whether it's re-signing them, in the case of Lewis, Johnson, Jones, Medicavich, or a Saran Neal where you have to consider the cap savings if you move on. So you love the special teams value, but for all of those players that I just mentioned, Neal, Lewis, Johnson, Tywan Jones, Tyler Medicavich, they don't really give you any value on offense or defense. Now, I'm okay with rostering players for special teams. But now we're like, if they're all brought back, we're not talking about rookie deals. They're all going to be $1.2 million or something like that. So there's some tough decisions to make here. It's tough. You don't want to blow up your core special teamers, but balancing that out is going to be a tough task for Brandon Bean. The last player to mention here in this position group is Jared Maiden. You probably forgot he was on the team. Well, he was. He was actually signed during the season to the active roster. He was on the practice squad in week 7 and 8. Then he was released. And then after week 17, he was signed to the 53-man roster. So the Patriots in the 2 playoff games. And he was a healthy scratch for all 3 games, which is pretty unsurprising given the late addition to the roster and high-stakes football games. He's 24. He turns 25 in June. Played his college football in Alabama. Was like an okay player in Alabama. Has good size. Bounced around a few practice squads. He's been on the Bills, you know, at least one other time. So there's some familiarity there. And he's under contract for next year. He signed next year for $940,000. And so there's not much to review in terms of stats or what he did on the field. He didn't play at all. But we need to acknowledge that he's part of this mix. And hopefully the Bills have been able to gain some understanding of who he is as a player and what his habits are, because maybe this is your fourth safety. Maybe your safety situation next year is Hyde, Benford, Jared Maiden, and then insert Cam Lewis, Jaquan Johnson, or Dean Marlowe. Like, there's some dynamics here to consider. But this depth is probably going to be completely shaken up. I mean, we have 2 players under contract next year right now. Well, I guess 3 if you include DeMar Hamlin. But Poyer and Micah Hyde and Jared Maiden. All the rest are expired contracts. And so sorting out this special team stuff versus paying these players is just another list on a long list for Brandon Bean this offseason. I mean, this is, as we've went through all the positions, and as we've moved through it, I've come away with more and more concerns about Brandon Bean and the decisions that he has to make. They're big. They're big. And how he pulls it off is going to be really interesting. But you got some starters in question. You've got some depth players. You got the impact to that to special teams. There's a lot on Brandon Bean's plate. So critical offseason for the Bills. You know, how do you assemble this team and try to fulfill on a promise that didn't happen this year, right? Everybody is living in a world where I think everyone expected the Bills to win the Super Bowl this year. And then that didn't happen. And you lost by 17 at home to the Bengals in a game where it didn't feel competitive. And it felt like you were way behind them. So we got a lot to talk about here over the coming days where I want to really kind of work through Brandon Bean's checklist. I want to get the herd mentality. I want to talk about the coaching staff. So that's going to be kind of the focus of our next few episodes here as we try to set the stage here for what I think is a very challenging offseason for the Buffalo Bills. And hopefully you've joined me for all of these conversations and you know exactly what I'm talking about, because every position group, there's some dynamics that need to be addressed and there's some tough paths to consider. And what gets really hard is, if you have to say goodbye to players, which you will have to, the path to replacing them and then inserting the word upgrading them gets really tough. So we got a lot, like you keep saying, we got a lot to talk about on this podcast. So we'll keep on doing just that. So make sure that you are subscribed. Would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bills. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.